Music sounds better on 103.2 Dublin City FM.
You're listening to Off the Record here on 103.2 Dublin City FM with myself, Heather McLeod. And we're delighted this evening to be joined by one of the members of one of the biggest British bands, I would say, who are touring at the moment, and they are due in Dublin next Tuesday at the O2 venue. So I'm delighted to welcome on the line Nick Rhodes of Duran Duran. Nick, you're very welcome.
Well, thank you very much.
And thanks for joining us. I believe you're all the way in New York at the moment, but you will be in Dublin by next Tuesday.
Oh, no, I'm not in New York. I'm actually in Manchester.
Oh, you're
I'm
in Manchester.
Much closer. No, our office is in New York City.
Oh, it's all very technical these days, I think, with all the technology,
know.
You know. So you were one of the, I suppose, founder members of the band back in the day when the band started, I suppose, just over 30 years ago there. What were you looking for, I suppose, when you started out the band? I say that in as much as, for example, over here in Ireland, U2, you know, advertised on their sort of local school notice board for other band members. So what were you looking for in Duran Duran?
Well, John and I met each other when we were at school. He was actually at a different school than I was, but we were friends when we were 10 and 12 years old. And I think we really started to form the idea of wanting to be in a band by the time we were 12, 13, 14 years old. And so we had a little time to think about it, and we developed our concept around the only things we really knew, which was all the music around at that time in the 70s, glam rock, David Bowie and Roxy Music, Sparks, Cockney Rebel, T-Rex, those sort of things. Then we went through punk rock, which was a profound experience for us, and the first thing that actually made us realize we could form a band, because there were people only a few years older than us on stage playing songs using the same chords that we'd learned. So the Sex Pistols and the Clash, the Buzzcocks were very influential for us. And then we also liked something about dance music, which a lot of other people who liked the sort of things we liked didn't like so much. Bands like Chic, we thought really offered something funky, something special that made people smile, put people on the dance floor. So really, I suppose we just combined all the elements of those things with electronics, which was my part of the band, Kraftwerk, Giorgio Moroder, and made the sound for Duran Duran. And when we looked for new members, we found most of them in Birmingham, but we did actually advertise. I'm not sure we used the same route as U2, but we used a music paper that was around then called Melody Maker, which is where we found Andy Taylor from Newcastle.
Music sounds better on 103.2 Dublin City FM.
And in a funny kind of roundabout way, as you were describing there, your influences of the likes of Bowie, I know Mark Ronson was very much involved in your latest album there, All You Need Is Now, and he would have been a fan of yours, and actually is quite, you know, well known as well for being involved in different kinds of music, but dance music being one of them. So that's almost kind of taking the band full circle, I suppose, up to this point.
Oh, completely. Mark, I have to say, of all the producers we've ever worked with, many of whom have been in the best out there at the time, we've worked with them and we've learned a lot from all of them. Mark, without a doubt, is the most perfect producer for Duran Duran.
Yeah.
He understands everything about where we've come from, what it is we're trying to create. He understands all the other elements that a lot of other artists don't really care about quite so much, the style and aesthetics and what we're trying to do artistically, as well as writing the best songs we can.
Sure.
And so he really was made for us. We had a lot of fun doing the project together. His knowledge of music is quite extraordinary, across many genres, dance music, rock music, hip hop. And so he's completely able to be flexible and versatile and swap around between different sounds of the things we're trying to create.
And something as well as music, I suppose, for Duran Duran, that you're, I suppose, whether it's something you want to be associated with or not, is that you're always talked about in terms of fashion, the band's fashion, the kind of connections there with fashion. I think at one point I was reading there, you're described as the prettiest boys in rock, as they put it. Was that something you kind of intentionally got involved?
I think that must have been a long time ago.
Is that something you got involved with to create that side of the image?
It's not something that we ever really had to create. It was incredibly natural for us. Growing up with glam rock, things like David Bowie and Roxy Music, Cockney Rebel, they all had pretty vivid imagery and styling. And then the Sex Pistols and the Clash, I entirely disagree with anyone who says, well, it was anti-fashion. Quite to the contrary, it was the most stylish movement, and the things they were wearing, with, in this case of the Sex Pistols, created by Vivienne Westwood and Malcolm McLaren, were at the absolute cutting edge of style at that time.
Sure.
And so we were naturally influenced by the things that we knew. And it's something that I feel has always remained part of the band, because we care about it. We care about every aspect of everything we do. Obviously, without writing a good song, you have nothing. But once you have that song, to then decide upon how you're going to perform it live and what the visuals are going to be like and what color you want the lighting, and to decide what you want on the sleeve for the single, or the image that goes up on iTunes, or whatever it is at this stage, and if you want to make a video for it. Those things, to me, are enormously important. And we've always really viewed Duran Duran as more of a multimedia band than just a rock band.
Music sounds better on 103.2 Dublin City FM.
You're listening to our Duran Duran special here on Off the Record this evening with myself, Heather McLeod. We're joined by Nick Rhodes. Talking of other media, I suppose, you have a video at the moment, I think it was released back in November, for the track Girl Panic, which has many of the well-known supermodels in it. I believe yourself, you're actually portrayed by, is it Eva Herzegova in the video?
Yes, she looks rather better than I do, for sure.
But, how did that come about?
It was an idea I had based around that song. We'd been talking about doing a video for a few different ones and off the album. And I liked the idea of beautiful, glamorous girls playing us. I'm certainly something at this stage I'd rather be watching. And so... it then developed into the idea of getting some of the original supermodels to play those parts. And as we knew a lot of them, their personal friends for many years, we thought they might think it was fun. And fortunately, they did. They were all really up for it and really got into the part. And it was a very tongue-in-cheek video. We got a great director, Jonas Ekelund, who I think is really... enormously talented. He did an awful lot of videos, but I suppose the one that people probably saw the most recently was the Lady Gaga Beyonce one for Telephone.
Yeah, Telephone, yeah.
Yeah, and when he'd agreed to do it and we got five of the most beautiful girls, we thought, well, this looks like we might be onto something interesting here. And I'm thrilled with the results. I think it is, without a doubt, the most uplifting video we've made in a long time.
And when you got the supermodels in question, did you match them up according to anything particular with the band, personalities or
Well, the only real
or
criteria was that I needed a blonde.
Right.
And so that was sort of more limited, because actually more of the supermodels, I hadn't really thought about it or realized until this point, but more of them are brunettes,
right,
or have black hair. Mm-hmm. There's not so many blondes, but fortunately we ended up with Ava. Cindy really wanted to play John. We thought it would be perfect for Yasmin to play the guitarist. And actually, I think Helena really wanted to play the drums, because she could play drums a little.
Right, okay.
So it all sort of fell into place, and it seemed only right that Naomi should be Simon.
Music is better on Dublin City FM.
And we were talking a bit about fashion there before, but I was reading a bit of an article in Vanity Fair, I think it was, there recently, and I believe that you kind of archive at least some of your outfits, is that right? I think it's something David Bowie does, but it's something that you kind of took from him a little bit. Yeah,
the other day. Yeah, it's completely true. When I had first met David Bowie, when I was a big fan when I was growing up, and I was obviously delighted to meet him. And one of the things that I talked to him about was clothes. Mm-hmm. I said, "Well, what did you do with all those amazing outfits that Kansai and all these different designers made?" And he said, "Well, I've still got them all. I kept them." At the time, I was still a teenager, so it really sunk in. And I thought, "Oh, I'm glad those still exist. I'm going to keep my clothes."
Yeah.
So I have David to thank that I always kept everything. So it's quite an unusual archive for the last three decades of clothing.
And in terms of that, like you're saying, you know, you have been going for just over 30 years there. I was thinking about it earlier on, but you will have been releasing albums, I guess, since vinyl through cassettes and CDs, and now a lot of stuff's obviously happening online. How would you kind of compare the music, I suppose, the music business and, you know, the formats and that from back in the 70s and 80s to nowadays?
Well, I'm all for progress, so I've always championed any kind of new format that I really believe is better quality or is something that people are going to have better access to. I still love vinyl because I think that there is no better listening experience. It was somewhat of a con that we all went through with CDs. For me, they were never better quality, certainly more convenient in many ways, but then we lost that beautiful artwork. So I'm thrilled that vinyl is having somewhat of a resurgence for real music fans. But having said that, online, again, that's a very different thing because the access you have to music now, the touch of a finger is pretty extraordinary.
Sure.
And I'm all for that. In fact, Duran Duran were the first band, I believe, in the history of music to ever sell a download over the internet.
Oh,
and that was in 1997, because I thought it was such great technology and wanted to be involved with it. And I thought, well, by 1999, this is what the whole world's going to be doing. And illegal downloads exploded, and it took a while for iTunes to get up there. For all artists, I would love to see the illegal download situation resolved somewhat, because I do feel, particularly for very young bands, it's incredibly hard to get to making your second record. And I don't think the kids that are downloading things and not paying for them realize how important this is, particularly for young artists. So I think that will naturally get resolved over the next few years, and then everything will settle down and look a little more sensible again.
Music sounds better on 103.2 Dublin City FM.
You're listening to Off the Record on 103.2 Dublin City FM, and we're joined here in the studio by Nick Rhodes. So you are you're on tour at the moment, and you're gigging in Ireland and Dublin here for one night only next Tuesday in the O2 venue. What can your fans, I suppose, coming along to that expect of the night?
Well, the shows so far have been quite euphoric. It's a very uplifting set. It's a couple of hours of Duran Duran with a lot of songs that people will hopefully know. Some of the songs from the new album, from the All You Need Is Now album that we're featuring. It's actually my favorite production with the lights and screens and moving parts and things that we've taken out for many, many, many years. It seems to be really working well. And so far, I think most people have left with a smile on their face.
Great stuff. So a few of the old favourites there, and some of the new tracks mixed in as well, then.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I mean
Yeah.
the set. As I say, the set's a couple of hours, so there's plenty of time to play everything that I think people want to hear.
Well, I once asked the Proclaimers actually whether they got sort of sick to death, you know, of playing 500 Miles because it was the one track everybody always wanted to hear at a gig. But they said no, actually. They said if it allows us to play all the rest of our songs, we're quite happy. Do you find that with some of your very popular tracks? You still enjoy playing them,
Oh,
I
you know,
suppose.
to be honest, I'm quite grateful to have songs that provoke such a positive reaction with people. If you've written a song that makes people happy, or makes people dance, or makes people think, or that has some sort of profound effect on any of the audience, then that's something to be pleased or happy about. I feel that you've got to take the audience on a journey with shows. Since we've been playing now for quite a long time, you get better at it. You understand what it is, what journey that the audience want to go on, and you know how to take it up at certain points and then bring it down so that you can build it back up again. And that is a real art form. When I go to see another band, I'm a big music fan. There are certain songs that I want to see, and I'd be lying if I just said, "Oh, I only want to hear the new album." It's never going to be the case if you've got that much music out there. So you need to choose carefully and try and balance it to make it interesting and surprising, but also to deliver the things people want to hear.
Music sounds better on 103.2, Dublin City FM.
We look forward, anyway, to seeing you next Tuesday in Dublin at the O2 venue, and people can get tickets there at ticketmaster.ie, and your website is www.duranduran.com. We've just got one very quick last question that we're asking all the bands around this time of year now. So, with the kind of season that's in it, do you have a favourite Christmas track?
Favourite Christmas song? Yeah, there's a few I like. I mean, obviously the John Lennon "Merry Christmas, the War Is Over." I like "Israel" by Susie and the Banshees. That's a slightly more unusual one, perhaps. But then I also like "Little Drummer Boy" by Bing Crosby and David Bowie.
All right, so there's a few different ones in there, anyway.
You can take your pick.
I'll take my pick. Okay, well, Nick Rhodes of Duran Duran, thanks very much for joining us today. As we said, the gig is next Tuesday, the 20th, in Dublin's O2 venue, and you can get tickets at ticketmaster.ie. Thanks very much, Nick, for that. That's great.
My pleasure.
Music is better on Dublin City FM.